You're listening to KHEN LP 106.9 Salida, and this is Truth Quest with Melody, and we are streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And my guest this evening is Tom Malley. And before I say anything else, we also have, if you have an email you want to send to the station, it's khen.dj@gmail.com. And I think as well as unorganized as I am tonight, let's see here, we're going to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And I want to say hi, Tom.
Hello, Melody. I mean, why is there always, whenever I come on the air, there's always a disclaimer?
Because it isn't just you.
Yeah, it isn't just about me, and it isn't just about the American people either. It's an awkward situation because I'm more of the support person and the researcher than I am the talk show celebrity host, and I'm at a disadvantage. I fail to articulate or to convey the knowledge. I try to give it to it like I've given it to you or other talk show hosts behind the scenes and let them present it. It's me, Tom from Brooklyn, Stanley Wiener Weinerbaum. I've got many different characters that I use, depending on who I'm making fun at or who I'm poking. You know, or tapping on the glass, trying to get their attention or get them angry. Primal instincts, you know. I bring out the worst in people. Thank God I have that ability because you avail their real agendas. So, Melody, who would you like to talk to? Tom the intellectual? Tom the bat-wielding maniac from Brooklyn? Tom the militia guy? Who would you like to talk to? I have a multifaceted personality. It's like controlled schizophrenia.
Well, why don't we start out with the intellectual, and I also want to kind of touch a little bit on the militia guy, too.
Sure.
And, I mean, there is a background of why you do what you do, and I have a tendency that I listen to a lot of talk radio. And internet.
You've heard me before. You've heard me in a rant.
And so I have many hours of you know, trying to research and you know, do what I do, and that's trying to seek the truth. And sometimes it goes off in some bizarre directions. But I have found that I have run across some interesting people that do call into a lot of radio programs, and I go, I want to talk to this person. This person really... sounds like
that's how you got in contact with me. You got in contact with me through another radio
right,
personality. Right. And I appreciate it. It's nice to be sought out and interviewed every so often. But, you know, by coming out from underneath my rock, I become a lightning rod for where the information comes from. Because that's the big thing. How did they find out about this, you know? And... by me coming out from underneath the rock, find out about this. So, basically, you know, people know that I'm on the air right now, and they're calling me. do you hear a beep in your end? I mean, I got it on my end. You know,
that's what that was.
Me.
I thought maybe it was, you know, I pulled a cord here.
And oh, no. It's just... they're calling me. So, you know, I have other things going on right now, like I'm talking to millions of people or whatever, or hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands.
Or
nobody at all.
Sometimes it feels like that, I'll tell you.
Well, you got to understand something, Melody. Some of our conversations that we have on our telephone, there are more federal agents than you have registered listeners. And what I tell people is, listen, we're not running the criminal enterprise, so don't say anything on the telephone that you wouldn't want to repeat in a court of law. that's a rule to live by.
Right, right.
Especially in these days now where the dirtiest organizations are usually the ones pointing the finger at you and calling you a hater or calling you this or calling you that.
Uh-huh.
And, I hate to start out a show like this, but this is fresh in my mind. At what particular time was the ADL taken down off the terrorist watch list and become the consultant to the Justice Department?
I've noticed a few people that are on there that you just have to wonder.
Yeah, I mean, and who are they worried about? They're worried about somebody carrying a Bible, and they're worried about somebody who cites up from the Constitution. I mean, who are they a threat to? Communism? You know, I don't understand a lot of things. And the bottom line here is, throughout my entire life, Melody, I'll share this with the listeners because my life is an open book. All right. Remember when you were a kid and you went to assembly that one day a week where they would get like a cop to come and talk in front of you, or they'd get a magician to do tricks or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I was always that guy in the front row that always saw the rabbit in the sleeve of the magician, or always saw it didn't matter what it was, lunar landings, assassinations, it didn't matter. I saw it immediately, connecting the dots. And my dad had said, you're going to have a lot of problems in life. And, he was pretty much right about that because it's been a great hindrance in having a normal life, being able to see these things. Now, some people take it as a great gift. I take it as a disability. My hobbies are a little bit different than other people's hobbies. What are your hobbies, Melody? What do you like to do?
Well, it seems that my hobbies become doing a lot of radio and listening to a lot of radio and research. So, but I've had plenty of other hobbies in my lifetime. So, they kind of go in stages. But at this point in time, I kind of feel like this is what's going on. And if somebody's not paying attention, then they're not paying attention, and things happen whether they want them to or not.
You know, my hobby is I like to learn.
Okay. Well, I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I really like to learn. And I like to learn because I don't, to just my inquisitive nature, to support my inquisitive nature. I'll give you an example. Supposing you want to know a crime scene investigation. And, you know, it was the butler with the candlestick in the library, you know, playing Clue when you were a kid and all of that stuff. Well, yeah, I'm supposing you were going to take that to a higher level, okay? But you have, you know, obligations. You got a job. You have a family. You have all these different things. So you couldn't just run off to John Jay College in New York of criminal technology and get a degree in, say, forensic pathology or something. But you know what you could do? You could get in touch with the college, find out who the leading professors are in that college, communicate with them, and get their book list. Every 6 months for the last 20 years, I've studied a different discipline. I've got a complete library, a support library of things spanning from criminal technology to metallurgy. It doesn't stop. It just does not stop. And you know what? When you have a knowledge base like that, backed up by a library like that, and you have this type of an inquisitive nature, it's really hard for them to give you a nonsensical story with no basics in physics or science. I've applied that to everything from the Kennedy assassination to the lunar landing to the Murrah building, you name it, to 9/11. And well, what do you want to learn? What do you want to know about? Well, Ask Tom. He seems to know a little bit about that. I think he was studying that a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's like, well, instead of going to the library, they call me up. Hey, can you, do you have any answers on this? Well, yeah, here, look right here, and there it is, you know. Or don't take my word for it. Here's the library, folks. Do your own homework. Don't take my word for it. I may direct you to the books. But the satisfaction of finding out for yourself is very gratifying. It's a wonderful feeling. And whether it's abnormalities in your Bible or abnormalities in what your doctor says or wherever somebody is hiding the rabbit in the sleeve, it's fun to find. Whether it's the roofer, the plumber, the carpenter, it doesn't matter what it is. It's the quest for the deficiency in the contract. The contract and anything that breaks the trust. I have no confidence in the government at all. Okay? Look at what happened just yesterday in Japan. A commander of an aircraft carrier sailed an aircraft carrier into a nuclear cloud.
Did they have a purpose?
Of course they had a purpose. The bureaucrat that told them to do it already probably had on the drawing board a brand new aircraft carrier.
Okay, now,
and all of those people that are going to get sick and get cancer and everything won't have to be paid their pensions, will they?
Okay, now, just one thing. You need to back off from the phone just a little bit.
Oh, that's, well, you know, I'm sorry.
I get the levels, the sound levels just about adjusted right, and then
well, pick up your audio level from you to me a little bit, will you?
Okay. All right, see, you're having a hard time hearing me?
Yeah, okay, you're
okay.
Better now, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, all right.
So you understand we're cultivated from the womb to the grave, and the system, I'm going to give your listening audience a little bit more than they bargained for when they tuned in today.
Uh-oh.
Do you know what the deepest, darkest secret in Iron Mountain is in the most secure vault anywhere?
Huh.
The system is not necessary. That is the big secret. All of these problems and woes of life are actually introduced by the people that are supposed to be protecting you.
Right.
The same people back both sides of a war. Well, everybody knows that, don't you? Right? Everybody knows that it's the same people. Well, they do that all the time. Well, why do you allow it if you already know it? You know? Let's talk about the manipulation of humanity. All right, let's get philosophical. Let's give you a little bit of a philosophical angle from Tom, okay?
All right.
Other than hunger, the two major components for the manipulation of human behavior are fear and consent. You can't have one without the other. You can't concede your courage without accepting fear. Okay? And fear cannot be instilled in somebody unless they've been conditioned to accept fear from the time they are children. Okay? Look at it this way. Melody, you finish all the peas on your plate or your father's going to bash your head in. Right?
Right.
And then it gets a little later in life. If you don't put money in this plate, on Sunday, you're gonna go to hell. You know? And then, if you don't park in between the lines in the parking lot, you're gonna get a ticket. And the bottom line here is, each and every time, they are reinforcing the fear mechanism. The sword of Damocles is constantly hanging over your head. Well, how do you defeat this, Melody? You just fail to
be afraid?
Fail to be afraid. You know, we're going to come and kill you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to sit there and let it happen, right? Well, we're going to come with our shiny badges and our uniforms. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, and they'll Tom, know what Tom, back off just a little
they'll
bit.
They'll know what pile to put you in, too. You know? Fear and consent. You concede to the authority. You concede and acquiesce your rights, okay, thinking that they have more purpose, that they are more important than you. I was not created by my creator to be subservient to any man whatsoever. You might say I have an attitude, but you can pick apart the way I talk. You can pick apart my intellect. You can pick apart my ideas. But it still doesn't diminish who I am. So, you people that are out there, hold no one above you or below you. It's biblical. If, in fact, we are all created in the image of our Creator, we are all extensions of that Creator. And our actions should be truthful and forthright. And we should be angelic and godlike in our behavior. Substandard and deviant behavior is not acceptable. You will pay a price for it, one way or another. The Creator gives everybody the same amount of marbles.
Well, don't you also?
He puts them in different places. That's about it.
What? Don't you find that in what you're referencing to, you know, that is true, but don't you find that they often try to get us to, they try to divert us into being those deviants in behaviors that aren't necessarily deviant behavior?
Well, what they do is they try to marginalize morality. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
By the marginalization of morality. I mean, you could read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is supposed to be a forgery, but it seems to be very true.
Yeah.
Okay? Very true when it comes to the subversion and the distraction of honest people. Give them what they want. Give them anything that they want. Keep them distracted. Exploit their weaknesses, you know? It's all written right there, but we it's not politically correct to bring that up. I mean, political correctness was was invented by Lenin, and I'm not talking about John Lennon.
Right.
When you can control the dialogue, okay? When you can define the terminology, terminology and linguistics are far more powerful than controlling the money. And look what the Rothschilds did with that.
Right.
Interesting concept, don't you think?
Well, you know, I keep running into those that have quite studied like you, who may not necessarily be in the forefront, but I'm starting to hear a lot of those same things coming through. You talk about phone calls now.
Yeah, I hear you. But what I'm basically saying to you is we may not all agree on the same things, but we all have the same enemy. And the enemy is all of those that exploit the weaknesses of man. And unfortunately, for the last 100 years or so, our system has been created that the only way anybody could get ahead is by creating a loser. You understand?
Uh-huh.
It's really a negative situation. Now, I am not a pacifist, okay? But I do believe in a peaceful coexistence with other people. But I do believe in paying back a betrayal in spades. All right? If a person continuously robbed my house, every time I invited them in to have something, I would lose a tool. This has actually happened, okay? After a while, the amount of pleasure that I derived from the visit was no longer, it was diminished by the amount of pain I got when I realized what the person had done. Now, countries are routinely forgiven debts, routinely forgiven indiscretions, routinely forgiven, espionage and murder and all kinds of things. Because you know why? It was never really a threat to the system. It was only a threat to the people. And the people, to the people that are in charge, okay, I compare the people of the United States to nothing more than an ant colony. You remember the little ant colonies you used to see in the comic books? You know, get this little ant colony, you see the way they are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think the people, the queen ant and the king ant at the top of the pyramid care about what color the ants are at the base of the pyramid, so long as the little pieces of meat and pieces of cake and pieces of bread siphon up to the top, keeping them fat? They don't care about if they're happy. They don't care what language they are. They don't care about anything at all. And what happens? Well, you know, king and queen ants are sitting up there. They're getting fat. They're looking over. They see another ant colony. Hello, ant colony over there. And they wave hello. And then they start to talk, and you have international commerce. What happens during ant colony to ant colony commerce? Right? Ant colony B says to ant colony A, hey, I get more productivity out of my ants, and they don't eat as much as your ants. They really get around. Why don't you buy directly from me, right? And here, I'll give you this. And what do? Ant colony B gives ant colony A the produce and the production of the ants that were at the base of their pyramid. After a time, right? Hey, I want to get paid. Ant colony B says, I want to get paid. Well, what was the collateral asset? The ants in their colony. So the ants in B eat the ants in A. Okay? Does the United States and China look like ant colonies at this particular time? The people that are in charge that move these things internationally tax the movement. They don't care about the quality of life for the ants because you are nothing but an ant to them. You are nothing but a menace.
And there's always more where they came from.
Yeah. And, they're only ants.
I mean, right? the movie Ants was a very indicative film in its own right. On me.
I don't think I've seen it. This is my own theory that I've developed.
Well, somebody else used ants.
Well, somebody must be storing something because my ant colony theory will probably be out there. And, you know... It's fun because, you know, I don't own a TV. Believe that? I get my information from the news groups and stuff's on the computer and the live feeds from, say, Al Jazeera or whatever mainstream I want. It's all there on news, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't watch TV. It's mindless. It's a babysitter. I mean, electronic babysitter, and it's mostly, for the most part, propaganda. So, like, when we were looking at, big situation that happened in Egypt, okay? I was looking at Al Jazeera.
My
friends came in and said, well, what are you looking at? I says, Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, that's Arabic TV. And I said, yeah. I said, but you don't hear any voices, do you? No. Why are you watching that? I said, because I could see everything that I want to see. I don't need their propaganda. What makes you think their propaganda is any better than our propaganda?
I I never thought of it that way.
Well, this is one thing that you need to do. You need to look at the television, look at the eye movement of the people, look at what purportedly is supposed to be going on. I mean, I came to a wonderful situation by not listening to Al Jazeera, by not listening to the words, by not listening to the mantra, the propaganda, because their propaganda is no better than ours. And the bottom line here was I saw something wonderful happen. You know what happened? 60 years of Zionist-controlled media propaganda went out the window because the Christians were guarding the Muslims while they were praying, and that was on the television. But it wasn't addressed on the television. And I saw some other things going on, that the military wasn't intervening on either side. They allowed them to do what they wanted to do until the pro-Mubarak people started throwing firebombs at the unarmed protesters. They fired over their heads, which was a noble thing for them to do, for the simple reason they were within their rights to use deadly physical force, and they did not. They chose not to. I commend those people. They're better than Americans for the simple reason that they didn't shoot into their own people. All Americans would never do that. Have you ever heard of Kent State? If you haven't got a memory, or you haven't got any intelligence, at least have a memory.
Well, there's a lot of them out there that weren't born then, too, that are listening. So.
Oh, I understand that. Kent State was a long time ago. So was the assassination of the Kennedy brothers. Truly, the takeover of the industrial military complex and the pro-Zionist agenda. Terrible situation. When we lose control of our government, It is supposed to be our government working on our behalf, not the multinational corporations or some sandbox, you know.
Don't you consider that kind of like the big lie in its own right when we think that it is supposed to be our government taking care of us instead of us taking care of ourselves?
Well, you're absolutely right. I was talking with a young lady just yesterday, who really knows what's going on. And she says, you know, I'd rather they were sending the money to Japan than to Israel. I said, well, I would rather we mind our business in both places, keep the money right here, or I'm not even collected. How's that? Why do you have to send it somewhere else? To feel good about yourself? And then scream that you're not paying taxes? You can't have it both ways. The money's got to come from somewhere. You know, the government can't give away what you haven't given them, and even though they print money, okay, your grandchildren are going to get stuck with the bill, if not you. Sooner or later, the landlord comes for the rent, doesn't he?
Right.
So, you know, I've actually gone out with people that say, well, don't worry about it, I'll just put it on the credit card. I said, well, let's not go out to dinner. Why? Don't you realize you're just putting it on the credit card? You're delaying the payment. You're going to have to pay for it. It's not free. It's on the credit card. You know, this is what I call the poker chip mentality. Listen, separating the mind from the thought, separating the wealth from the fool, separating the mind from the intellect. Okay, I'll give you an example. When you go to Las Vegas, what do you buy? You buy a chip.
Right.
Subconsciously, that money's already spent because you spent your money on the chip. The chip is, in fact, the money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't think about throwing $20 on the table on one roll, you know? You don't think about that those chips were $5 each and you just put four of them up there because you've already been separated from your mind. In your mind, it's already
spent.
It's already spent. So basically the same technique is done to you in every aspect of your life. Well, that's just this, and that's just that. And you understand, whenever I hear anybody say, well, they are just, you are talking to an idiot that's been programmed, and he just doesn't get it.
Okay, I'm talking to Tom Malley, and he calls him Tom from Brooklyn, and we've kind of met via the various radio programs, and so I've invited him on my program tonight to kind of expound a little bit on his research and background and thoughts. So that's what he's doing.
Well, I'm giving you a little bit of my philosophy. It may be correct, it may be not correct, but it's my philosophy. You don't have to agree with it, and you're entitled to your opinion the same as I am entitled to mine. I could say you could agree with my opinion, or you could be wrong.
Right.
Well, the bottom line here is I wish nobody any harm, okay? I would like to see everybody do well. But unfortunately, in the system that we are participating in right now, somebody has to become a loser for somebody to become a winner. So if you see somebody in that big house on the hill, just think of a lot of people that he's wronged. All right? Through the system itself. And all of these guys getting $1 million bonuses and $10 million bonuses on Wall Street are nothing more than slave traders, because what they've basically done is they've traded in your free time and the free time of your grandchildren for the next 100 years to maintain that big house or to go on vacation. It's a very abusive system we're part of, and it's going to come down because people are starting to communicate at a much higher level nowadays because of the Internet, which has to be controlled because it's unveiling the fragility of the system itself. Years and years and years and years and years ago, when the Romans were running the show, mm-hmm. They came up with an idea. Well, listen, all the people that are Christians should wear a C on their lapel, so that we know that they're Christians or they're royalty. And you should put an R for royalty and a C for Christian on your thing. And the one emperor looks over at him and says, no. Then he'd realize how few of us there really are, and how many of them they are. We've got the big room, big picture mentality now, because the Internet has created the large room for us to communicate.
Well, you know, one thing I want to bring up while you're talking about that, and then the numbers and the timing and whatever, and with the Internet, is the term Armageddon, meaning disclosure. And so I'm just wondering, where do you apply that? And are we at a point in history where the disclosure is coming forward? And is it, you know, it isn't necessarily an alien disclosure. How about just the truth?
Well, I'm not a fan of Saddam Hussein, okay? But Saddam Hussein said that he was going to unleash the great Satan. And you know what the great Satan was? They thought it was going to be the burning of the oil fields. That's how shallow their thinking was. One of the most important people in American history will be Saddam Hussein. Because prior to Saddam Hussein making the announcement that we're no longer going to accept the dollar for a barrel of oil, okay, when the people heard that they didn't have to deal with the abuse. You see, the oil industry and the global economy has always been gauged in dollars for the simple reason that a dollar was the only way to buy a barrel of oil, was with dollars. So countries that had fuel and had industry always had to have commerce with the United States, because they had to trade their currency and their wealth for dollars. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when Saddam Hussein said, I'm going to unleash the great, it was the truth. The great Satan was the truth. And the truth was the dollar's not worth anything but the paper it's written on. The only thing backing the dollar is the confidence of the American people, the F-16, and the M-16. That's it. It has gone from a money-backed currency of value, all right, to a worthless piece of paper. And I'd like to have some more of your worthless paper while it still can buy something. But it's buying less and less every day. It's becoming more and more evident that our money has been devalued to a great extent. I can remember my parents paying 16 cents for fuel oil. I just spent $4.
Right.
You know. So I can't explain to you. I love this country. I have a profound love for this country, and I have a profound respect for the American people. They are good people. They are willing people. They rise to the occasion of abuse, but they are completely lied to and misled. I don't hate the sheep. I feel sorry for them, for the simple reason that they buy into the distractions. The bread and circuses and Colosseum mentality goes back a long way. The deception is very deep, and the controllers and manipulators of our race and humanity go back quite some time, and they've had a lot of time to refine their techniques. And I don't even hate the people in charge. I hate the ignorance of the people that allowed them to be. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a higher intellect of the people in voting capacities or in investigation units that could not be compromised, where is the integrity in life? Now, I've got a background. You know, he can't do. I have a bad background, but I learned through each and every one of those interactions. I learned something, and I learned. You want to know something? I don't like to look over my shoulder. If they're coming for me, well, let them come. You know. If you're going to shoot me, it won't hurt for long. I've been there already. All right. So, why live in fear? This is a wonderful planet full of interesting places to go. And what would happen if all of a sudden the technology just changed? You know, people are not willing to go to war anymore. They're not jumping on the bandwagon to run over to Iraq and do this and do that. I had some young fellows say, we need to go over there and beat on that Kim Jong-il and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, yeah. Well, we've had bases there for 60-something years. You think it's changed anything? And while you're over there beating them up, wouldn't it be fun if the banker took your house away? Isn't that part of the game plan? What are you talking about? That could never happen. Yeah. Or possibly, you know, let's be a conspiracy theorist here. You could be infected with DU and get cancer and that property will revert back to the original owner, the bank. Interesting world we live in, isn't that what we always say?
Well, there's all kinds of little caveats to catch us if we're not paying attention, and then that's the whole part if you're not skeptical of everything, then you're going to be caught somewhere along the line, because these guys have sat around in their little think tanks for eons trying to figure out ways to catch us.
Well, here's the situation. The guy turns around to me and he says, hey, Tom, he says, you see that car that runs on water? Isn't that great? And I says, wonderful. And he says, what do you think about that? I says, well, have you seen the move for the privatization of water? When water becomes the next fuel, the same people that are controlling your gas are going to be controlling your water. Be prepared to spend more money for water.
We're already moved there.
I understand that. Do you know that most of the bottled water in America is controlled by Nestle's Corporation?
We're well aware of it in our area.
Well, I know you are, but You know, even, you know, oh, this is Evian water. It's from France. No, look at it. It's from Nestle's Water Resources. This is Perrier water. It's from France. Nestle's. This is from Magic Mountain, California. Nestle's, you know. 98% of all of the bottled water in this country is controlled by Nestle's.
And that's not necessarily the only thing they control, though.
Well,
aren't they quite into the food arena, too?
Well, yeah. Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland. You've got some of the major, ConAgra, you know, a lot of the major producers, you know. That goes back to the feed manufacturers and the chemical manufacturers, because without the chemistry, they've become dependent on that for the growth. And remember something, folks. All wealth starts at the ground level. Whether it's oil or produce, it all starts at the ground level.
So it's in the resources.
So if you control the resources, you control the... When you liquidate a very rich person's estate, you'll find something like 50, 60,000 acres in New Mexico with a current stick count on the wood. You know? Why? Because you can borrow against that. You could borrow against a geology report of oil in the ground. There's so many things you could borrow against and get your money up front and let them extract it. It's a very complex world. I mean, you know... It's a very, very complex world. And like I said to you before, I'm very inquisitive, and I like to unveil the rabbit in the sleeve in a magician, and I do it all the time. And it's just another magician each and every time you look. It's just another deception each and every time you look. It's the same old, relabeled, and thrown at you again. There are no new stories, just old ones with new labels. And here's a Tomism for you. The only difference between history and current events is the names and faces of the victims.
Right.
Okay. So I hope you folks are getting something out of this knowledge base that I've been manicuring for such a long period of time. And... I just wanted to give you a little bit of it's.
Are you there?
Ranting and carrying on. Tom is usually writing, and sometimes you get a little bit of Tom, and tonight you get a little bit of Tom. But I'm nobody special. I don't have any special aptitude. I haven't been given any special gifts or anything. Just an inquisitive nature. And a good memory for everything except what I ate this morning.
I think there's a little more there than you say, but you know that's for you to reveal or not. But as far as one of the things that I found, and I'm not trying to say there's anything special in what I do at all either. I mean, I've been one of those people that's always questioned everything and started looking underneath, looking around the corner and trying to figure out, you know, why is that, why is that, why is that? And the part that I found interesting, even though, you know, there's differences, of course, but I still think that when most people are more alike than they realize if they're given all the information or have acquired it. But I've also found if you just have that inquisitive nature and you start asking questions and looking, it's amazing how you can cut to the quick and start figuring things out without even having to study all that stuff.
Well, it's called connecting the dots. Everything is. When you understand the dot matrix of a television tube, it's a series of small dots. Each dot is a pixel which has a little bit of information in it. When you look at it, if you're narrow-minded, you only see a dot. But if you instantaneously connect all the dots, instantaneously, you see the big picture. And maybe that is one of my attributes, that I'm able to connect the big picture. But I don't always get it right, you know? I'll create a scenario instantaneously. It might not be correct because something might be missing or not all the pieces or not all the dots are there, you understand? Or not all the dots are complete. Maybe some of the dots are empty. But, you know, whether you're dots or whether you're ants, the equations are always formulated in the same format. The only thing that's different is the content of the dot.
Well, if we worry about whether we're wrong or not, we're going to really be up a creek, and we're always going to follow the programming, and then again the compartmentalization that they feed us. And the whole thing is being able to step back and look at the bigger picture, and that is the hardest thing for me to convey to people, and that's why the first thing when we start, those of us that started questioning things were so, you're a conspiracy theorist. That was thrown out there to kill the argument, to kill the inquisitiveness.
Well, I'm not. I don't prescribe to using the broad brush because if you use the broad brush, it'll be used upon you. And you know, whenever you use a broad brush, a lot of the finer points of things are missed. And I don't prescribe to any of that kind of stuff. And there's good and bad in all people, and people should be held accountable for what they do, not who they are or what race they are.
Right. And yeah.
And well, these people continuously do that. Yeah. Well, they also continually victimize their own. I don't have a problem with those people. You know why? I don't have them in my life. They don't live in my neighborhood. I choose to control my environment, Melody. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I choose who comes into my home now. No one can mandate who comes into my home. My home is my world. And you might say that's ludicrous or an isolationist attitude. But you know what? You can make all the laws you want, but they start outside my door. I'm the only master of this house. And I don't care what people think. And their acceptability is not necessary and doesn't change the price of my bills. Okay? You got so many people that are living somewhere between Jerry Springer and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And no matter how good you do, there's always somebody that they will reference that's doing better than you. Right? Or no matter how bad it is, well, that's nothing. You should see what I've seen on Jerry Springer. Well, who allowed them to define the parameters of a healthy lifestyle? Who are they to define the parameters of the box? Hey, I don't think outside the box. I am the box. Get over it.
And why would you consider them entertainment?
Well, bringing up entertainment, Fox News lies, ABC News lies. If you look at their FCC license, it says entertainment on it. They are under no contractual agreement to give you one shred of truth, ever. The only thing they are contractually obligated to do is steer people to their sponsors to buy their stuff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's reality. Your assumption is that they're telling you the truth. Well, why wouldn't they tell you the truth? Why? Because you're being cultivated from the womb to the grave. The television tells you what to buy, what to eat, where to go, how to be cool, how to act, how to dress. Where's your individuality? Where is the talent that God gave you? It's called individualism. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't care to be like anybody else. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not special. I just don't conform, you know? Well, if you don't do this, we're going to do that. Do it. Who cares? You know? Yeah? Hey, by you bashing me, does that make your life any better? I think you're a pathetic puke, you know? You got nothing better to do than play with me? You really don't have a life. See, reality is something that these people, well, you know what it is? They're unhappy with their lives. Their lives are empty because they really don't have anything of substance in it. If you ask a rich man what he owns, what he is, or if you say to him, hey, George, what are you? Who are you? He doesn't say, well, I'm George. Well, I own this and I own that. I said, well, you've enumerated everything you've done, including your bank accounts and your girlfriends and everything, but who are you? They're so lost in the materialistic world that they don't even know who they are anymore. It can happen. It happened to me. I know. I'm talking from experience. Tom is not a philosophy major. He's a man that's made a lot of mistakes and has a really good memory for when I make a mistake. And if I could keep you from making a mistake by giving you a lecture, you're going to get a lecture. You may hate me, but you may find out that I was right. And you know, something? I don't feel I need a degree to tell you when you're wrong. What makes you such an expert? I'm not an expert. I have no credibility at all. As a matter of fact, that's my best strength, Melody. My best strength is I can make a wild accusation, which is based on truth, based on science, based on all these things. Well, what credibility? What school did he go to? I didn't go to any school. You know what? I can debate somebody like Noam Chomsky. You don't know why? Because if I'm wrong, right? If I'm wrong, I'm just some jerk from Brooklyn. I'm Tom from Brooklyn. He's Noam Chomsky. If he's wrong, wow, some idiot from Brooklyn just made a girl out of him, you know? Isn't that fun?
So you just like to hide behind the anonymity and that?
Why not?
Why become
a lightning rod? I mean, really, ego is something I can't afford. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, but you just said earlier that you were a lightning rod.
Huh?
Because
I said, but if I come out and I talk, I'll be a lightning rod. But if I come out from under my rock and people know who I am, I become a lightning rod. But the way I am right now, it's kind of a semi-lightning rod. I'm well grounded.
Actually, I think you probably picked the better position to be able to do more, because it seems like when you're the lightning rod, you really get, you know, constraints put on
you. You would have no idea how many people are using material that I pro-generated. I mean, they equate everything to money. Well, why are you living in an old house if you're so smart? Well, why are all these smart people calling me? You know? I mean, I don't have to blow my own horn. I could get other people to do it for me. And this broadcast is not all about me, Melody. It's about being humble. It's about being effective in what you do and not worrying about popular consensus, because in a world that by and large is full of stupid people, one person that doesn't buy into the nonsense has to be crushed because he's not going along with the stupidity. Now, when you look at the voting procedure, I want you people to listen to this very, very carefully. Okay? Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers. And then think about the president and how he became the president. Interesting, isn't it?
You're trying to allude to one or all of them?
Well, whether it was one or all, it doesn't. In a manipulated situation, in a manipulated society, the Council on Foreign Relations could have gotten Jeffrey the Talking Giraffe from Toys R Us elected. But Mr. Obama is a dynamic speaker. And as good a front man as anybody else for the task ahead of him, which is selling out America or distracting them while America is being sold out from under them.
Yeah, but he didn't start it. I mean,
he didn't start it. And the downfall, you could go back to FDR from the downfall. But there are people that have tried to make a difference, and they got assassinated. As far as I'm concerned, the last president of the United States was John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He tried to bring in real money. He tried to change things a little bit, and he got murdered for it. And unfortunately, a lot of people that shine the light are extinguished. And there's a lot of people who didn't like Kennedy. You know, he also signed a bill for the total disarmament of the American people, which didn't go well with the gun owners, and which my own family called him a traitor, and he was to me my hero. But life goes on. You know, we live, we learn, we love. We continue, and we'll prosper as a people so long as we don't weaken. And they're weakening us. I have an old saying that I made up, my own old saying. Now that I'm getting old, I can have old sayings because the sayings I made up as a young man have now become old, okay? It's don't worry about the wolf at the door. Worry about what we're going to do with the rug.
Okay.
In other words, when God serves you lemons, make lemonade. When the wolf is at the door, make a rug out of him. Okay. You have to deal with things. You have to go into life with both eyes open, and don't be distracted, folks. Life is too short. I spent entirely too much time being a consumerist, being self-absorbent, and maybe the last 30 years of my life I spent doing this type of patriot-type research and everything. And the Irish have a saying. It's not who can inflict the most harm. It's who can endure the most pain. We Americans have been long-suffering for a very, very long period of time. And as I said to you before, the internet has broadened the horizons of a lot of people who normally would be silent, who through the constraints of their daily activities only have a few hours to sit in front of the computer, you know, between running back and forth to work or school or whatever. And they are interacting. The silent majority have now been cast into a large auditorium, and they're not as silent anymore, and it's scaring the life out of the controllers.
All right. Let me go ahead and say that this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and I'm talking, this is Truth Quest with Melody, and we're archived at www.givemesometruth.info if you want to go back and listen to the program at another time. And then we are streamed on the internet at khen.org. So if you're not in town, you can pick us up on the radio, on the internet when you're out of town. So you can always keep us tuned in and at many of the fine programs that we have. And I just had a friend just walk in the door here, but Irving, he's a DJ that left us for a little while. It looks like he's back in town for a little bit. But I've got Tom Malley with us, and he's expounding on his experiences. And it's kind of nice to hear somebody speak up. And I like to pick them out of the radio programs that I listen to because there's some really good patriots out there and people that have spent a little time researching and learning a few things. And so go ahead, Tom.
You know, I have a house in Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania, and it's an old mining town, and it has a lot of old people in it, and we had a power outage, and I'm always looking out for people, and this is something that the large cities, people, you know, oh, they might think this and they might think that or whatever, you know. But when you're out in the country, it's a little bit different. Now, I went across the street to see if my dear friends across the street, they're an older people. And made sure that they had candles and a flashlight. I buy a lot of stuff, you know, and I brought a 6-volt lantern over there and some candles and made sure that they were hooked up because the power was out. And I said, you know, if anything is wrong, you know, you can't use your phone, just wiggle your light back and forth for a while. I'll see it after a time. And I'll be right over. When I came back, I was rewarded, Melanie. It made me feel really good. You want to know why?
Why is that?
There was candles and batteries on my porch. Somebody else was looking out for me. So when it's not just a one-sided thing, if we all realize that we all have a vested interest in humanity, and if you do somebody a favor, you are obligated to society, by and large, when you accept a favor, to pay it back 10 times. It's an old Oriental thing, okay? That by and large, your society and your environment will be that much better for you by indebting yourself to a society of people who have mutual respect and care for each other. This is what America is supposed to be, not what it has become. And
you know, it's interesting how that another ethic has crept in. I mean, I'm constantly having to take ethic classes for various, you know, occupations I've had and continue to have. And the very first thing that I noticed as soon as I'd take these ethic classes, I was thrown into a business that the very first thing you saw was the breaking of those ethics. And that those that seemed to be making it were the ones that were the most adept at it. Now, I'm not saying that all people are, but I found that there's such gray areas that it kind of slides in.
When you study the law, you know how to break it.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the very first thing that it seems like you see them doing these days is finding ways around the law, as opposed to adhering to what its intent was.
Well, there's a lot of difference. There's a big difference between the law and justice. And unfortunately, constitutional law is not really the rule of the day that much anymore. It's more administrative law and regulatory law and UCC. Actually, you'll find more use for the UCC in courtrooms nowadays than you will for the Constitution, because depending on what court you're going into, you could tell just by the flag, by their symbols, you will know who they are. And if you see the fringe around the flag, you know that the Constitution is not welcome there. So, you know, so many things over so long a period of time. Now, we're in our second hour, Melanie, and how would you like to go to things other than my boring life and just go on things in general?
Okay.
How about if we talk about the latest hysteria?
Okay.
What do you think that would be?
It depends upon what day you turn on the radio. I mean, it's from one day to the next.
The daily gloom. Yeah. Well, you know, it's really funny that the sitcoms and the police shows of the 60s and 70s are the realities we're living today. And it's really a joke on society by and large. But I'd like to start to address the people who are very worried about what's happening in Japan. Okay?
Okay.
First of all, is Japan a state of the United States?
You know, I have to, I mean, I think we colonized it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we don't have any contractual obligation to support them, do we?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, first of all, we bombed them. Okay, we bombed them. We dropped a big bomb, two of them on them. And both of those bombs threw more stuff into the atmosphere than their power plants. Okay? And we survived here in America, in North America. That's 4,000 miles or 4,500 miles away or whatever. okay, we survived. The current rush to buy iodine and iodine pills and everything is hysteria. They've whipped this up into another false flag operation, hysteria. Folks, what's going on in Gaza this week while you're looking at the nuclear spill in Japan? What's happening on your border this week while you're looking at Japan? While you're running to Walmart, instead of buying ammunition, you're buying iodine. For what? To paint the bottom of your feet because the magnetic water might get over here? It's not going to affect you. Okay? The particulate matter falls into the Pacific. Because you're fishing in Louisiana, Melody, is it raining sinkers in Vermont? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This stuff is heavier than air. Nuclear particulate is very heavy. It goes up, right up into the stratosphere. It comes down, right? Not far from where it went up. All right? And you hear talk show hosts, well, machinery was cast up into the stratosphere. I'm sure it was. I mean, when your nuclear rods hit the water table, it has no place to do but blow up, right? And I really don't foresee any major problem. Now, an interesting situation, they said, well, it's going to come on the Gulf Stream. Well, 2 weeks ago, wasn't it the same scientists that were saying the Gulf Stream's not moving? So what did they do, resurrect the Gulf Stream just to bring the particulate over? Oh, you know, all the sinkers that are laying there on the beach in Japan, how come they're not falling in New York City or in Los Angeles? I don't know. Something is wrong with this picture. I mean, you want to reinforce the paranoia and the terror with bad science. It is what it is. The fact is nothing more than the fact. The old saying, it is what it is, well, it is what it is. The only difference is how you're being told and for what purpose and what is the agenda of the speaker, okay? And what are they trying to sell? And what are they trying to make you acquiesce to? What type of control mechanism are they trying to pull? And what type of a curtain are they pulling behind themselves? And who is the small operator? You will find it's the same people all the time. Now, hey, this is really funny. I mean, you just think about this. Well, according to resources and information resources in Tel Aviv, this blast is going to infect all of North America. Wow. Not that they would control the American media or anything like that. Or what makes them big experts in the area? They're not even supposed to have any nuclear devices in Israel. All right? That's like going to the Pope for sex lessons, you know? It's nonsensical. And I just wish people could be more attached to reality, okay? And here I am, a guy with absolutely no credibility whatsoever. Don't take anything I say as fact. Research everything, okay? Research everything. And you're talking to a guy that when my mother told me that she loved me, I went for a second opinion. Okay? Don't trust anybody's word. Don't parrot anybody's work. And do your own research. You know, you've actually got people that have written entire books on other people's research. And they discredit their research and their work because they can't even explain it. World-renowned talk show host. This, that, and the, no, you're an entertainer. You're not a teacher. I am an entertainer. But hopefully, I will, through my comedy or through my my crude gestures, I might influence somebody to do a little bit of research to prove what a nitwit Tom is. And you know what? You might find out I'm not such a nitwit. I don't mind being the fool, right? But I just don't want to be the fool in the spotlight. I don't want to insult my ancestors. They were very honorable people.
So what do we, you know, when we're listening to this information that's coming across, how do we just start asking questions and making them have to qualify?
First of all, whenever you're asking for something, you're dealing from a negative position. Okay? If you're not controlling coercive force or economic force, you're in no position to ask for anything in this life. People demand this and demand that, but with no coercive force or no backing. I mean, these people couldn't get a Chinese fire drill together. I mean, look at the way the left has done everything over the aggressive nature of Rust. When one shuts down, another one takes over, right? In the right movement, when one shuts down, that's the end of the movement. It dies. Why? Well, the force continuum. You lose your momentum, you lose your mobility, you lose the inertia of a movement. Or if the movement is strong like the Tea Party, it gets hijacked by people with a political agenda that had no vested interest in it other than to jump on the bandwagon, go to the head, and steer the ship into the rocks. But, hey, listen, I'm a lunatic from Brooklyn. I don't know anything. Be careful of who you support. Okay? Be careful of who you support. When you investigate them, you may not be happy. Investigate me all you want. I've got no credibility. I'm happy to be that way. Because you want to know what? Much has been given, much is expected. And you want to know something? Nobody gave me anything. I don't owe anybody anything. Have a good time with your investigation. You know? Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. You know, the fear. Okay, I am what I am. You know? It doesn't change the facts. Well, attack the messenger. If we can discredit the messenger, well, that works. That does work. I was kept from giving testimony. Because why? Oh, you know, he has a past. And they accepted that. Well, I said, you know what? If I had a past and I told you there's a steamroller coming down the street, you could argue with me, well, you're not credible, and then you would have moron stickers in front of my house. You know? It would make a decal out of you. A moron decal. The bottom line here is Americans have
Can you get another phone call or
Americans have been conditioned to pick apart the sentence and miss the entire message.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically where it's at. I don't know. My view of humanity, I just wish people were a little more kind to each other. I walked into a restaurant, and the restaurant had a little bar off to the side, and these guys were cheering, and I was looking. It looked like a football game was on. You know what? I looked there, and what did I see? They were looking at the imaging from the helicopter of Iraqis getting blown to bits with a 30-millimeter Gal cannon. And they're, oh, where to go, where to go, where to go, and all of that stuff and everything. I said, what's wrong with you guys? I said, that's the devastation of humanity. Those blobs you see on the floor are pieces of people. Are you out of your mind? Have you become so callous that you look at that and you're cheering? I said, somebody loved that man. That was somebody's baby. That was somebody's father. That was somebody's brother. What's wrong with you? How could you be so dehumanized? And then I realized, that warfare has become so remote that that scenario that I have just could have been done from Thomas Street in New York. It could have been done over the internet, making a 9-to-5 job out of the murder of innocent people, removing the violence from the warfare. Is possibly one of the most inhumane things you could do because it takes the anger out of it. It takes the taste out of warfare. You know? Oh, yeah, well, it's less psychological impact on the operator. If he doesn't, it's the poker chip mentality again, Melanie. The poker chip mentality. They've separated the mind from the thought and the thought from the action that they are actually throwing down their money. They're actually killing people. And yes, I can snipe. I can shoot somebody at 1,000 yards. And that's basically because I don't like violence. But I can shoot at 1,000 yards. And that makes me less of a man because I'm not all blood and guts and I'm not going to cut the guy to pieces and this, that, and the other. No, I just don't want to have the blood all over me. There is no blood on my hands. And I'm no different than the guy that operates that Gal cannon on that Apache helicopter. But I don't have a cheering squad waiting there for me. Becoming that remote from the taking of human life is not warfare. It's murder. And whether it's subsidized or state-subsidized murder or, oh, God, I hope, I'm listening to what they're saying. God, okay, just touch a gun. Why are you so, it's not macho. Why do they, wait till he picks up the gun. Now it's legal. Oh, now I can kill him. Whoopee-doo. It's absolute murder. And look at the way, don't you think that technology is going to be used on you someday? Don't you think that somebody from somewhere else that doesn't like the American way or fat, stupid Americans, they really look at the way they act and this, that, and the other thing. There's going to be people that don't like us that will be operating the same type of technology against us. And you know who will be funding them? Remember the people in that ant colony? The same people. The win-win situation is always put together by the same people. The only thing that changes is the faces of the victims. The smell of war, the taste of war, the cordite in you coughing from, the smell of napalm, the smell of burning flesh, will stay with you for your entire life. But you won't get that on the video screen. No. Just a day as usual. What'd you do? Oh, I just greased 160 people. Can you pick me up a French fries and a Coke? Yeah, thanks. I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting soft or if I'm getting more illuminated, Melly. It's just the loss of humanity is really starting to get to me, and since we murdered all of those people in the Middle East and everything, have you noticed the price of gas has become like 50 cents a gallon?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We need the free flow of oil, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, remember the main, all this crap, right? And what do? We bomb Kandahar, and we burn down the opium fields, and what do? Well, Osama bin Laden is living in a cave, so what do? Bomb the mountains. What do? We created a nice, fluffy bedding for the Caspian Sea pipeline, so that Halliburton could install it, Unocal could run it, and then you could rape me at the pump and with the heating oil. Where was our profit? Where is our vested interest as Americans? These multinational corporations, as our children are brought home in Tupperware, and Rubbermaid bags, right? Where is our investment? Where is our payback? Well, the oil companies are showing record profits while you're losing your house. Am I insane?
No, but not at all. You're just telling it as it is.
I don't know. I mean, because to me it's as plain as the nose on my face, and these people just don't get it. They just keep going for it and going for it and going for it. I have a young fellow that I care about. He used to shovel my snow, right? He's in Iraq right now. And he said, I said, what are you going to do when you come out? He says, I think I'll go back to school. I said, for what? There's no jobs here. Stay in the military. Stay in the military, become a contractor, make some money, work for 5 years, and then just bank the money, and you'll be okay. Why come home? There's no job here. For what? To be an overqualified nothing? There's no job here. Live in Kuwait. You know, go work for an oil company. Go do something else. The American dream has become a nightmare, and I love this country. I love what this country was. I love what this country stood for. American people. Look what they did to the farmers of this country, the people that fed us for years and years and years and endured hardships and crop failures and droughts and dust bowls and everything like that. You allowed the banks to take away their land. You allowed it. If you are in a position to do anything in life and you allow an abuse to take place, you're aiding and abetting in the facilitation of the crime by not doing anything. Get involved, America. Do something. You don't have to do much. Not everybody's a Rambo. But get off the couch and do something. Make a phone call. Write a letter. Insult somebody in a restaurant. Do something. Because you are losing the most precious thing that you could possibly ever think of, your freedom. You people have lost your nationalistic pride.
Well, you know, another thing, that while you're at it, in talking about losing something, if we lose the ability to own property, and we are now... I'm sure you can elaborate on this much better than I can.
Why would you assume that?
Why would I assume that? Because you're because I've got you on this program because you talk better than I can.
Well, I rant a little more than you do. You have a nicer voice than I do. I have as much cooth as an average drill instructor. And you know what? I don't mind being of the drill instructor mentality, because drill instructors make men out of little boys. I make thinking individuals out of zombies.
Somebody, by golly, somebody's got to do it.
Well, you want to know something? Until we monetize burnouts in this country, we will not have any new natural resources. And they've already done that through your monetization of your birth certificate. So at birth, you know, at birth they monetize you by collateralizing a loan with your birth certificate. So it's pretty interesting the way that the fraud has created the fictional non-entity that you're a straw man. It's all legal fiction, and it's all through your consent and through your ignorance. I said it on a show earlier this morning where I was being interviewed, and I said, well, you know, through your consent and through linguistics and your ignorance of language and the proper use of language, you'll lose your freedom. Most contracts are nullified in the title. They're not, in fact, contracts anymore. And in the breach of contract agreement, the provider of the contract is actually the winner. So it's just crazy. I mean, the entire system is rigged. It's all a big game, and you're not one of the principal partners in it. And the more you make, the higher your target value.
That's for sure. So, I mean, they're willing to do it to themselves. And then once they've bought everything up and become the big, they have the one monopoly, then they have to reinvent the board again.
Well, you know, the bottom line here is due to the shallow thinking of the people that have been subjugated over such a long period of time, that if they actually were to acquiesce some of the control, they would actually think that they were free. But they would still be in a negative aspect, in regards to true freedom. You know, it's getting to the point where you'll have a counter on your toilet paper roll, and if you use more than one sheet, you think you're getting away with something. You paid for the water to flush it, you paid for the sewage, you paid for the paper, but you got away with something because you used more than one sheet.
I've actually heard that floated around in the media a little bit.
Yeah. I understand that. Don't worry about it. As retarded as it is, if they could sell you carbon credits, something that you can't see, touch, or feel, and you have an obligation to pay it, you're a retard.
Well, guess what they've got in the wings now is nitrogen footprint.
Well, you know what? If the carbon thing didn't find, they had to find another element. We're going to go through all 26 things in a periodic table before the thing's over. Well, you're low in magnesium, you know. Oh, you know the threat. There's magnesium over there. You know. Oh my God. You know what? Let's bomb that country. It has magnesium in it. Well, you know what? How about if we crop dust the White House with murine so we can get the red out? Anyway, Visine, murine, Visine, you know, the eye juice that takes the red out. But anyway, that was kind of a joke, but it was a feeble attempt. I don't do good with other people's jokes. I just tell my life story and listen to them roar.
Now, something that you have a little bit of a background in that we talked a little bit about maybe covering is something to do with the militia.
Yeah.
And what would you like people to know about that particular aspect?
Well, don't look at them. Don't look at the militia as the enemy of the people. In fact, the militia, the unorganized militia and the militias that actively train in your areas throughout the country are actually a legally formed under the governor. You see, this is the only deficiency I see in the militia. You come under the jurisdiction of the governor of the state, and if the governor decides not to call them out, you can still work on your own behalf, but your legal authority comes from that of when you're called out by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to adhere to that, but that's where the legal authority comes from. And it's an extension of it's basically an extension of when other agencies, government agencies, fail. We are the last bastion of free Americans. We are armed. And, you know, during Katrina, when FEMA was turning back truckloads of ice and water and cutting phone lines, the militia was filling sandbags. So who are the real enemies? And you have scum like Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL and all of that communist ilk that demonize people in the militia, especially militia leaders, and hold them up like criminals. And, these are not the enemies of the people of the United States. You got to understand something. The Revolutionary War was fought by the militia before there was a freestanding army. We you aware of that? You're an American.
Right.
Are you aware of that?
Right, right. The terminology was a little bit different then, wasn't it? Or am I incorrect here?
Well, you know, correct or incorrect, I didn't live during those times. I mean, I don't have first-hand knowledge, so I will not expound on it. But basically, throughout history, from what I understand, and through the understanding of papers and documents over a long period of time, there are people who could very, very easily explain all that to you. And I could off-air give you some of their names, and you could have them come up if this is an area that you think that people need to know about. But, mm-hmm. folks, everybody between the ages of 17 and 40 years old as an American citizen is part of the militia, and you can be called upon to serve if you're an American. But finding Americans is harder and harder. I don't have to do that. You can't tell me what to do. Huh? Get a rope. Maybe it'll change your mind. It's legally constituted.
Well, one of the things that when you bring up the governor thing, is there not a governor a change in regions that they're putting governors in? Is the leaders of these regions in this country, are you familiar with this?
Well, regionalism is a Soviet concept, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have states in this country. The state is in itself its own little country. The only reason that the tax money goes to the federal government and is apportioned to the states, okay, that mechanism doesn't really have to exist, because the only thing that the federal government was mandated to do was protect the borders, okay, deliver the mail, okay?
Geez, they've already outsourced all that, right?
Yeah, so their mechanism, other than to employ, 2/3 of the population of this country, I mean, you know, when you've got people working for the post office, and you've got people working for the Department of Waterworks, and you've got all these things and everything, whether you need it or not, you've got a payroll. So it's hard to see that the country is no longer productive. During the time of the revolution, okay, revolutionary times, 80% of the people worked for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was the greatest country in the world, and everybody prospered, okay? From that point all the way up into the 1800s, 1890s or something like that, right? Then, when everybody was sending their kids to school and everybody was working for somebody else, the world, you know, the country prospered. Everybody was doing wonderful until the companies started to go offshore. And as soon as they started going offshore and outsourcing stuff, the control of those companies that the children of these great people, they work for these people, the quality of their work had not only come down, the quality of their intellect had not only come down, but the bottom line is they became dependent on either the government or a large corporation for their living. And that's where the breakdown in America really has taken place. It's the codependence on either government or a large corporation for your money. What I'm a proponent of is very, very simple. I grow bucket tomatoes, okay? My bucket tomatoes are great. I have a friend of mine that grows corn. I'll give you a couple tomatoes, you give me a couple pieces of corn. You know what? My girlfriend makes really good bread, all right? I'll give her a couple of tomatoes, she'll give me some bread. Now I've got bread, I've got corn, and now we need somebody with a cow. You understand? Equal equity in produce, which is made from your own hands at the ground. You're not going to the government for it. You're not going to a multinational corporation for it. Although
folks, it's getting harder and harder to get the correct seeds to do stuff like this. Because if you can control resources at the ground level, you can control all wealth. That's why Archer Daniels Midland and Monsanto are so powerful, because they control the agro grow chemicals that all wealth is derived from. Isn't that interesting, Melanie?
Well, and then that if you are able to control the water, and in a sense, I mean, and tell me if you think that this is an incorrect thought, but if you're worried about carbon, are you worried about the air we breathe?
We exhale carbon dioxide, and the more plants you have around you, the more oxygen you'll have around you. And if you're worried about global warming, why would you be having deforestation projects? All right, because if you're creating global warming, when you chop down a forest, okay, the ground cover, the ambient temperature of the ground goes up. More bare ground, the hotter it gets. Okay, also, the less oxygen it gets. So now, what happens? Your CO2 footprint goes up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have less plant life to give off oxygen. Have you ever gone into the woods? It's wonderful. You can breathe really deeply, and you know why? Because the plants are feeding you pure oxygen. It's wonderful. Have you ever slept in the woods? It's the deepest, most satisfying sleep you could possibly have. It's due to the oxygen. And don't sleep so sound that you wouldn't matter if there was a bear nibbling on you, you know. But you know what I'm saying. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a sleep that's far exceeds sleep, say, in the city.
So, did you cover everything you wanted to do on the militia, or did you want
to? Well, you would have to seek out a local unit and see what they're all about. And for the most part, you'll find these people to be very friendly. And they're very nurturing people for the most part, especially the people who train people. And they are Americans, and they should be respected. They should be respected even higher than police officers, for the simple reason that they don't get paid for what they do, and they are totally committed. And they will be willing to lay down their life in a correct situation. And don't allow people with no vested interest in this country to demonize them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first Bernie Madoff that comes along can influence the way that they think and the way the media handles certain people because of money. When you eliminate money, you know, money don't make you look any different in the shower, does it? Yeah,
unless
think about it
unless
that
you're
way.
Into, yeah, unless you're into plastic surgery or something.
Well, yeah, well, you still look the same. You know, you still look the same when you get in the shower. So a person with money and a person without money, you don't know the difference, really. And just have a little mutual respect for humanity. And I think everybody would get along if that was the case. But unfortunately, some people have such a pathetic life that they need to get over on other people to feel good about themselves and make a little money and take advantage. And I'm not saying that I am without any guilt in this area, because I have been on the other side for a while. And spending the rest of my life trying to make things better, you know, because I understand how, with the best of intentions, good technology was turned bad. And there are many people just like me that had, in the earlier years of their life, created a lot of input and did a lot of theoretical modeling and that type of stuff, where society was shaped around that, and the future plans for society were shaped around things that were kicked around as ideas. And like I say to you, the sitcoms of the 70s and 80s are the realities that we're dealing with today. And it's a sad commentary on America, because what was once a joke is now your reality. I mean, in 1964, if you would have told me I was going to be paying $1.50 for a bottle of water someplace, I would have told you you were crazy. But that is the reality. Oh, you're only paying $1.50? It's only water, you idiot. How far have you been, has your mind been separated from your intellect to the point where you could be marketed water? I can understand that type of marketing if you were in the desert. But the entire world is becoming a desert. Bigger wars will be fought over clean drinking water than ever were fought over oil. The planet, in regard to fresh drinking water, one of the essential things of life, is getting very, very small, very, very quickly.
So there's a vested interest in not have clean water in order to get clean water.
You know what I think everybody should have? I think everybody should have a Merlin machine. You know what a Merlin machine is?
Mm-mm.
It creates drinking water from humidity.
Oh, no, I've been looking at that, actually. I just didn't know, never heard it called that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the original concept. It was called the Merlin machine. And they must have different trade names, but basically it's the condensing of water from humidity. And it's actually not such a new kind. If you had a dehumidifier, you know, the water that gathers at the bottom of a dehumidifier,
mm-hmm.
If you put that through a Berkey filter, you could drink that.
Right.
I mean, interesting concept, huh?
Right. No, actually, I see that as an avenue down the road, because, you know, the only aspect of is trying to come up with some kind of a solar method so that you weren't gauged upon your kilowatt usage to create water.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, solar cells are pretty easy to build. Building the cell itself is quite easy to build. One of the major components in the solar cell is berry juice. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You can't have a solar cell without berry juice. And it could be a blackberry or a blueberry. So, if you were in a bargaining position and you were looking for something to trade, it would be nice to grow a blueberry bush or a blackberry bush or something like that in the dark berry variety. Because when you paint that on the tile to create the solar cell, that's the only way it can happen, is through natural photosynthesis. You cannot duplicate or synthesize that action. That's one of the laws of nature.
Hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
I bet
it's like magic. It's like magic. When I first saw how the cell was made, and I made one myself, I couldn't believe it. This was magic, but it was photosynthesis. It was a non-moving way of generating electricity. I mean, it didn't generate a lot of electricity, but if you had them set up in series or parallel and soldered to a bus bar, you could actually get some current out of it. And, that's how it starts, you know. Pretty interesting concept, light energy. And then I started thinking, well, what if all my roof tiles were like this? And what if I had these things all over my car? Could I run an electric car? Could I come up with an efficient thing? Anything the mind can conceive, the body can produce in time. And, thinking, generating thought patterns, just like I said to you, what one of my favorite hobbies is studying a different discipline every 6 months. And whether it's science or medicine or whatever, you're only on this planet a short period of time. And instead of sitting there and memorizing the football stats or the basketball stats or something, wouldn't you think you'd have a more rewarding life studying medicine or law? I think you'd have much more interesting conversations anyway.
Well, you know, that's the one part that you know, as long as there's ingenuity and materials to work with, but that's the one thing that we really have to be kind of paying attention to what's happening to not only are we going to be losing access to the resources in the ground, but we may be losing access to many of the items that, you know, we thought used to be there and were everywhere are now disappearing. Such as junkyards.
Well, the junkyards are a thing of the past, and what you know what the biggest threat to a junkyard is? The Environmental Protection Agency. You know, they're worried about the crankcase oil, they're worried about this, they're worried about that. Well, you know, some of the worries are warranted, some of them aren't. And it always boils down to you're going to be fined a big bunch of money. And does that big bunch of money correct the situation? Never. Does it go to redeveloping the land or cleaning up the land of the... No. It's the damage to the state, which the state, in fact, has no vested interest in. All right? The bottom line here is what I had told you in the beginning of our talk. Fear and consent. You acquiesce your rights and your money to an authority that has no vested interest. If you don't, the guys with the shiny guns and the badges are going to visit you. But there is far more of us than there is of them. And in America, it would be very, very easy to develop the technology necessary to dispatch these people in short measure. And the abuses that we look at continually in the news or on television, the conditioning came from the SWAT movies in the 80s and in the 70s. The kicking in of the doors and conditioning the people. Well, I've seen it on television, so it must be okay. It's not okay. It's a violation of people's rights. Have you seen on any one of those SWAT teams anybody execute a proper warrant, even one time?
No.
Right.
And if you
Bill Cooper was murdered. Was murdered by a team of assassins that didn't possess a warrant. Bill Cooper, the talk show host. A friend of mine, a great man, a good American, murdered.
You knew a few of those, haven't you?
Huh?
You've known a few of those, haven't you?
I've been around a long time, sweetie. And, I've not had a good life, but I've had a very rewarding life. And I do believe God has put wonderful people in my life to compensate me for my own deficiencies and for some of the hardships I've had. And I'm not seeking pity from anybody or anything like that. I've had a hard life, but you know, I've made up for it, and I'm happy now. And my life has got purpose. I may not achieve everything that I've ever wanted to do in my life, but maybe through some of my input or some of my research or some of my advice, someone else may achieve what I wanted. So a little bit of me or a little bit of my mentors may...
And your mentors have been?
I've had many. There have been many. I mean, you name a subject, I'll name a person. So, you know, on the humanist side would be somebody like Howard Zinn. On the right, it would be Eustace Mullins. On the monetary side, it would be somebody like Byron Dale. You know, the list goes on and on. I just happen to have been in the right place at the right time. And I guess, you know, the Indians say I have bear spirit. And I laugh at them. I says, is that because I'm bumbling around? You know, just bumbling around like without direction? Or is it because I have a lot of strength or something? And I have a strong presence. But this, like I said to you in the beginning of this broadcast, this was not about me. Look in the mirror. The change in America comes from that person in the mirror. Are you going to allow this to continue to our people? It's not a question of somebody should do something. The question is, what are you doing? What have you got the courage to do? Have you got the courage to go to jail for what you believe in? Have you got the courage to die for what you believe in? Have you even got the courage to just not go along with the program? It's going to take the force multiplication of many, many people to change the direction of this country. It may be too late. It may be too late.
Well,
The Chinese are going to foreclose on our country. They've been giving us money since NAFTA and GATT. Sooner or later, like I said to you early in the broadcast, the landlord comes for the rent.
And
it's
all
nuts and bolts technology, sweetie. It's only nuts and bolts technology. You could pay now or you could pay later, but you're going to pay.
Well, you know, one other thing to bring up and to be aware of, it isn't just us in this country that's going through this sort of situation. I mean, those that want to control this country want to control all countries.
Well, you know, the funny part about all the stuff that went on in the Middle East, the only governments that are in fact toppling are the ones that were illegally formed by the United States.
Hmm.
Yeah, all of the foreign dictators that were put into power by the United States. And along with the fall of America will come the fall of Europe. The entire system will collapse. And humanity may rise from the ashes like the phoenix, you know, the old Chinese proverb of the phoenix rising. Out of this debacle, out of the absolute collapse of our system, possibly a more human existence may happen, or more totalitarian or whatever, you know. But there will be change, like Mr. Obama says, but change is not always for the better.
Well,
we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Yes, we are.
And I hope my message is taken with a grain of salt, is thought about a little bit. And remember, folks, I have no credibility. I'm nobody special. I'm no better than you, no smarter than you. I've just put a little more time in it than most of you people have had time to do. And if anything that I say offends you, I am deeply sorry. But reality is... it is what it is. I'm not sending no ugly kids to modeling school, no matter what the hype is. Okay? So, deal with reality in a real fashion. And remember something. Don't buy the hype. There's nothing wrong with having an old car. There's nothing wrong with living in an old house. Don't allow the marketers to define your lifestyle. that's all it is, marketing. It's all an illusion. The only reality you have is the love of your family. And the only mark of success that you have in this life is the look of your children when they look at you and the love in their eyes. That is what my life experience has been. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for coming on the program, and we'll have to do this again sometime. And, keep on plugging away and putting that information out there among the various other programs, because, you know, you kind of have a way of kind of just bringing it home. And
well, you know, I try to bring it home in a human fashion, and I try to deal with people. I mean, I could do the techno jargon, and I could do the academia jargon, and I can do all of that. But when I deal with people in a non-pretentious manner, in vernacular that's geared to the slowest guy in the room, I do it so that there is a total understanding and never any misunderstanding in anything I say, because I'm not always correct, and I don't have to be. I'm human. I'm probably the most human and frail person you'll run across. Maybe I'm not. It's all a deception. Enjoy the deception. All right, I'm going to cut out now, and God bless, and I hope you enjoyed the broadcast, and I hope the people enjoyed the broadcast, and they're not too critical of me, because I am quite human, and I hope I didn't disappoint anybody. I bared my soul to a certain point in some places, and you may agree with me, you might think I'm crazy, but you know what? What you think is not going to change the price of oil.
All right, I want to thank you again for coming on the program, Tom.
Okay, good night.
Good night.